welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
So as listeners know, hypertension in the United States is a huge problem. In fact, it is the most common reason that people visit their primary care provider. And we also know that lifestyle modification should be advised for all patients with elevated blood pressure. But we also know that not all patients are going to follow those lifestyle modifications. And some of them, even if they do, might require pharmacologic therapy. While the definition of hypertension is still being debated, the question remains as to when do we actually want to begin therapy? When are we going to get the best gains for our intervention? So pharmacologic antihypertensive therapy, as compared with placebo, produces a significant reduction in bad things, specifically heart failure, stroke, and myocardial infarction. So the decision to initiate drug therapy obviously needs to be individualized. Obviously, we need to talk with our patients and make a shared decision. But from an evidence perspective, when do we start? Is it 120 systolic, 140, 160? Mark, you found a poem published in JAMA Internal Medicine. It answers the question, at what systolic blood pressure should we begin treatment to gain the most benefit? What did this meta-analysis find?
Yeah, there have been a lot of meta-analyses lately in JAMA and the sister journals to JAMA. And I think we have four of them this month from JAMA. So, but they've been publishing some great stuff. And this is a really important issue, particularly with the SPRINT trial that came out recently and the new guidelines from the ACC-AHA. So there's quite a bit of controversy around this, a surprisingly large amount of controversy considering it's such an old question. So this was a systematic review. They looked for any randomized trial with at least 1,000 patient years of follow-up that compared drug treatment with placebo or compared blood pressure targets against one another. So, you know, is your target 120 or 130 or 140 or whatever? So they found over 70 studies with over 300,000 patients. In patients without pre-existing heart disease, so what we call primary prevention, lowering systolic blood pressure that was initially over 140 did decrease the risk of death if the systolic blood pressure was greater than 160 or if it was between 140 and 159. There was a similar moderate reduction in risk, about 10%. So whether the blood pressure was 140 to 159 or over 160, getting it below 140 was a good thing. Also reduced the risk of major cardiovascular events by about 15% by treating those patients. Treating systolic blood pressure, on the other hand, that was initially less than 140 didn't affect morbidity or mortality in this analysis. In patients with previous coronary heart disease, so secondary prevention, who had a mean systolic pressure of 138, so kind of borderline, treatment did reduce the risk of further major cardiovascular events, but didn't reduce mortality. So it did reduce, for example, future MIs. There's a lot of heterogeneity between these trial results, so that making it a little harder to interpret and buy into these results when there's so much heterogeneity. And it looked like there might be some publication bias. And that's when smaller or negative trials that don't show a difference, fail to get published. And that can skew the results in favor of the intervention. So bottom line, if you starting antihypertensive therapy, as we've always known, I think, when the systolic pressure is greater than 140 is a good thing and is important in patients with or without pre-existing heart disease. In patients with existing heart disease, starting it at even a slightly lower level, if their average was 138, does prevent further cardiovascular events. The SPRINT trial showed that getting a target of 120 reduced cardiovascular events in very high-risk adults, but the way that they measured the blood pressure would give readings that are 10 to 20 millimeters lower than what you would get from a typical office reading, the way most of us do it in our clinics. So in some ways, I think the SPRINT trial results were a function of how they measured blood pressure as much as any particular target. They had patients sitting there for 15 minutes or more and did multiple readings in order to get, and if you do that, you get a much lower blood pressure.
Mm. Yeah, sort of perhaps the difference.
140 still seems to be the good target to use. Patients with coronary heart disease, you know, may see some benefit from a slightly lower target for their blood pressure, maybe 130 to 120.
Agreed. The sprint trial sounds like a classic sort of difference between efficacy and effectiveness. I mean, you know, you can do it, one way in the trial, but you're not going to ever be able to match that in practice. I have a couple of questions for you, Mark. You had mentioned a couple of times mean systolic blood pressure. By mean, do you mean averaged over several readings? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, it kind of differed from study to study, you know, exactly how they measured it. This was the mean across studies, across several studies.
Got it. Okay. I'm just wondering the difference between primary prevention at 140 and secondary prevention at 138 seems to me a little arbitrary, right? I mean, those numbers are not that distinguishable.
No. I guess I didn't mean to say that. What I'm saying is that if you have somebody whose blood pressure is, let's say, 140 over 92 or so, there's no proven benefit to lowering it further if they're sort of an average risk adult with hypertension. On the other hand, if they have known heart disease, that is a patient where you might want to intensify the treatment.
Got it. Makes perfect sense. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.